Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Ruff, your host, and I'd like to ask you, you've had previous lifetimes, right? Right? I hope you know that you do, as you've had. And I would like to ask you, how many have you had? A few? Or perhaps where have you had them? And this is a question that many of us have. We want to know about our life histories, where we've been, what we've done, and what has it mattered. And so there's an incredible book about this. It's called In Search of Lost Lives. Doesn't that make sense? And it's written by an author who we've interviewed on Energy Stew before. I'm so happy to talk with Michael Goddard. Michael, welcome back to Energy Stew.
Thank you, Peter. It's a joy to be back with you and your audience. Happy to be here.
I'm so glad, because your book is amazing. How many lifetimes you've actually identified in detail. And the years of them, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, for the book, I recorded and recovered and recorded 88 past lives, including 71 human and 17 animal lives.
Which one is this?
I'm sorry, what?
I was making a joke.
I missed it.
Human or animal?
Oh. Well, the 17 are animal, and they followed the human lives for various reasons.
Yeah, I had one lifetime as a dolphin. I know of that.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Oh, good. Maybe we knew each other in that life.
Yeah. You know, I think I found that if you have a special affinity to an animal, you may have had multiple lives as that animal.
That's great. But for me, even that's a concept that a lot of people don't understand. That
no.
Humans are allowed to be animals.
Yeah, the thing I actually would like to say at the outset, Peter, is that most people don't remember their past lives and can't access them. And in no way should you feel bad about it, lesser than, or missing something. We're actually not meant to know our past lives. I've been on an extended spiritual journey, and I've been basically given the service, the seva. So I prepared for this before I came into this life to some extent. Being able to traverse time and recover details, really precise, exact details of my past lives.
Right, so what you mean is personally be able to recall our past lives, because there are ways that, for instance, I can intuitively see.
Right. But it's rare, you know, among people, and you've had a lot of spiritual advancement and growth, so you're able to do it to whatever extent you do. But I just wanted to add the proviso that people shouldn't feel frustrated at all, but so much of who you are can be explained by who you were in your past lives.
Yes.
I mean, rather than looking to your third great aunt, you know, or fourth cousin, it's really who you've been and those sanskaras you've taken with you. Now, sanskara is a Sanskrit word basically meaning past impression. So I relate all kinds of specific affinities, talents, aversions, interests in my book in this lifetime, and they're tied to specific experiences in particular past lives. So in a way, that's a kind of a verification of who I was that shapes me today. Right. That's one of the main things my book does.
And we also have a lot of ancestral influences in this life, but it doesn't mean that we haven't chosen this life because of past lifetimes to have these ancestral influences.
Yeah, and it's really different for all kinds of people. Like in one of my best lives, when I was a nobleman in Hungary, I'd had multiple lives with every member of my family but one. And the purpose of that lifetime was to really learn how to be harmonious and work as a unit. And we were primed to do that. Now, this lifetime, all the members of my family, who each of them really abused me in different ways, really, and at times horrifically, it was my first life with each of them, I found out.
In this life, it's your first life with each of them.
Yeah, they were all new mind and soul entities. As far as I know, I'd never come across. So you never know. It's different for different people. I mean, some families kind of reincarnate over and over again. This wasn't the case for me. So everyone is on their own individual path, and it's all without judgment. We're all hopefully moving toward the ultimate love. That is our ultimate reward.
Right. But what's amazing to me is the detail of each of these 88 lifetimes, that, you know, you knew the years of your birth and death and the circumstances of each life. So it's fascinating because you are so detailed, and, you know, and it's amazing that your intuition can climb into such knowledge. And it doesn't surprise me, because we all are talented in different ways to plug into the universal computer and have different, so many different purposes. And so obviously your soul, one of its main purposes is to grow through this knowledge of such detail of your lifetime. We can call it advancement, but not long ago, I spoke with one of the archangels who gets channeled through one of my radio guests, and about past lifetimes. And they said, well, they're really not in sequence. We create the sequence, but out in higher dimensions, everything is parallel. But we need it to be in sequence for our own, you know, processing of how we feel we're making progress. And so, you know, it's hard to understand that because of the details, for instance, that you have of so many lifetimes, that and they were very quick in succession of each other. And
well, that's because I was being ready, you know, for this ultimate path. After the pivotal life, when I was an orphan in Macedonia, that's when I write about a very high spiritual experience with a light being merged into me. From then on, I was assured of incarnating as a human. So the time in between lives was typically 12 or 13 years. When you go back and back, it could have been hundreds and hundreds of years. So my whole evolution was being accelerated, particularly from that pivotal life back on forwards.
And yet altogether, it's a blink of the eye in the eternity of the universe.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all the levels of the realms of existence, it's all relative. I mean, we're bound by time here. I mean, I've had friends argue that, you know, time is an illusion. Yes. But try to prove here on Earth that World War I occurred simultaneously with World War II. It didn't happen that way. I mean, there are people who lived through both wars. So it's basically each plane of existence has its own rules. It goes by its own realities.
Right, and it needs to.
It needs to function properly. I mean, if you go on a deep sea dive, you're gonna observe different laws of that physical reality. Right. You're not gonna go without some type of diving suit, just expecting to have gills bloom in your cheeks. It's not gonna happen. You'll die. So it's really all about learning what the laws of existence are and abiding them for your highest and best good.
Right, so it's good to be aware of the whys and wherefores of this kind of journey that you and I appreciate about lifetimes. And reading your book and all of your human lifetimes on this planet, to me is fascinating, because I've had a number of them, but so many of my lifetimes have been in other dimensional worlds or on other planets, in other constellations. And I'm more of an interplanetary person. Mm-hmm. And yet in here, I know quite a number of lifetimes that I'm very proud of because I see the advancement of them. I understand why I've had them and what they've done for me, and appreciate that. And so that's what, so I'm coming back to, you know, how we are all different. How, you know, I'm not here to identify, you know, these 88 different lifetimes that you have in my own way, but also, you know, you have much larger numbers of lifetimes that you've had in the thousands that you know about.
Well, I know I've had 4,137 human lives on three planets. I didn't go into any interdimensionality lives, although I do write about life between lives as it impacted what I had to write about, particularly in regard to what I call my cohort of seven, which is the group of mind-spirit entities I was mainly with between lives. We were like in a little classroom pod, reviewing our past lives and you know, working with different spiritual teachers.
That's so true about how that works out there. That mm-hmm. we do have a group of counselors and advisors and friends. And it's amazing how much planning and purpose go into our lifetimes. So there are three planets that you've had human lifetimes on, because I always say that humans are a good template in the universe, and there are probably a million planets that have human life on them.
Yeah, but under very different conditions. You know, luckily I started out on the planet Chorlu. That's the closest approximation in English. And both Chorlu and Vazin, my second planet, for the most part, everyone was way more spiritually advanced than on Earth. I mean, Earth is really kind of the school of hard knocks. It's very challenging to come here. You know, this is my third planet. You know, 78% of my prior lives happened before Earth. So I'd gone through a lot of experience and evolution before I came here.
Right. Because that allowed you to have the kinds of lifetimes you've had here, which are, so many of them have been spiritual.
Right. Although I traced back my spiritual evolution several thousand lives ago to when I was a woman on the planet Chorlu and I had six children. That's like the first key evolutionary spiritual experience I identify. But it greatly accelerated as I came on Earth, and particularly my last 35 lives. So, I mean, I think many people are familiar with the famous quote attributed to Teilhard de Chardin: we are not human beings having spiritual experiences, we are spiritual beings having human experiences. So we each come with a spiritual purpose, and you don't necessarily know what it is. In my book, I do identify many of the spiritual purposes I came with and whether I fulfilled it or not. Now, in one lifetime, when I was a Jew in Poland, that was a really tough life for me. We were terribly poor. I was ostracized by the community, and I ended up committing suicide. You know, my matchmaker I enrolled gave up finding a wife for me. So I lost my opportunity. I mean, suicide is just a horrible event because you have the most precious gift and you're like throwing it back at the creator.
You've experienced that in some lifetimes.
Yeah, and I actually kind of relived it right after I was initiated in my current path. I was invited by this close friend, by a very upper class family, to go to their chalet by Lake Tahoe, and they all went downhill skiing, which I had never done. So I went for the first time to go down snowshoeing. So I just set off on my own snowshoeing, and I saw this bank of snow, and I thought, I'm just going to sit there and meditate. And I did. And I felt this ineluctable pull just to stay there and die. And I just was a little freaked out by it. I thought, what is going on here? You don't want to get up. You just want to lose yourself. So when I began to recover my lives, that was like, that came back to me in my Polish life. That was like a sanskara from this Polish life. When I finally, it was just so negative, I gave up. And after, right after my birthday, which was really lonely, in January, I went out and committed suicide by staying in the snow.
Wow. So very traumatic. These things keep coming back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's talk a little bit about COVID, which was a huge challenge for people. I had a challenging time, but I was able to negotiate it well because I'm gifted. I've developed my intuition. But I lived through the Spanish flu, as you probably might guess from reading about my most recent life. And much of the time I was away from London where I worked, and I was at my parents' home in the countryside with my cousins a few miles away. So I got through it only having to go to London a few times. So I did not die in the Spanish flu, but like 19 years later, I caught the flu and I borrowed a friend's relative's apartment in Arundel, England. And I went there thinking the fresh sea air would help me recover. And what happened? I got worse and worse. And one night I was really crashing. And all of a sudden it occurred to me, you're going to die. And I did. No one but this friend knew where I was, none of my family. Now, the interesting thing, Peter, that relates to what we were talking about, carryover karmas. My second trip overseas, when I had just turned 20, I was a fellow from the history department at UC Berkeley, and I went to the University of Warwick. Weeks after starting school there, I came down with a horrible case of flu, and I had to be hospitalized, and people visited me. And at the last moment, I realized, I've got to get to the hospital. This is heavy. So that was like a continuation and finalization of that karma I suffered, which does result from actions I committed in God only knows which lifetimes. So everything ultimately makes sense and can be explained. The problem is we're laboring, for the most part, under a thick cloud of unknowing.
What's fascinating also is how many parts of the world you've lived in over these lifetimes. And I'm thinking, you must be some linguist.
Oh, well, language came easily. I mean, I had to choose between French and German in high school, and I really wanted to learn French, but I was intimidated by the pronunciation. My mother said, well, if you take French, I'll help you, but not German, because, well, she was a Holocaust survivor, and she had vowed never to speak German again. And I picked up German really easily. And then the one place I didn't want to go as an exchange student was Germany. I requested that I not be sent there, and I was. And the family didn't want me. Their daughter was one of the big shots in the organization, Youth for Understanding. But I'm telling you, Peter, after 3 weeks, I was dreaming in German. And I just had a few years of high school German. Well, my life as an English speaker, my last life, I learned German in London because my uncle, I was part of a family business, sent me to Zurich to further our business connections. So German came really easily. That's the sanskara, a past impression, because I had learned it. I'd become basically fully fluent, living in Zurich and then Köln, which is Cologne. And I was in Cologne when Hitler came to power. That was an experience. And I hightailed it back to England, really, right after he came to power. That was lucky for sure. So anyway, but the thing is, I want to get the point across that we are on a spiritual journey. We have this amazing opportunity to make spiritual progress. I mean, if nothing else, focus on being a good human being. Focus on being kind, even if it's a little acted out. We're just all playing parts. We land here, we're born, and we actually have a script. We don't have that much free will because we're bound by our prolab karma. Now, prolab is a Sanskrit word for destiny, you know, this karma we come in with is taken from our sencha karma, which is our Himalayan many times over reserve of karma that we've accumulated. The basic law of creation in these planes is action and reaction. So there is limited free will in terms of your response or reaction. So rather than reacting with anger, with judgment, with disgust, you don't know the full history of the person.
Right, that's true about anything.
Yes,
that people
yes.
don't understand, you know, it's about anything.
Right.
And, people and, walking down the street and you can have an opinion about them based on something superficial and it's not true at all.
Yeah, so rather than spending your valuable thinking time thinking about why is this person doing that, where are they doing that, they probably don't know. Take responsibility for your own life. As we've discovered, it could end, you know, someone you thought you'd be seeing for 20 or 30 more years was taken last year. And you don't know yourself from one day to the next how much longer you'll be here.
That's
so
right.
this is your chance to really, really make good, actually. That's one message
yes,
I want to get across.
And I like what you said earlier, that, you know, about not needing to know our lifetimes. Mm-hmm. Because we really just need to be present and make the most of this lifetime.
Oh, absolutely. And last time I was here, we talked about my newly released book, Adieu Now. That's really a guide for helping you be in the present and tuning into your higher consciousness, your higher sense of knowing,
right.
to navigate every single challenge to the best of your ability and benefit.
And that was a wonderful interview we had not long ago. Anew Now, mm-hmm. and this is a book in search of lost lives. Very different purpose to each book. But you know, I really appreciate what you're doing in this lifetime on so many levels, because you obviously your soul came here with all of these stories. But the idea is to put it all together to make the most of reality.
Yeah. And each book totally amazed me. I had no plans to write them. I just wanted to write something new. And, well, I started to recover the lives. I was very surprised. But all the groundwork had been laid. I mean, not only from when I was a seeker, you know, age 19 and 20, but in between lives. You know, I did special meditations to be able to do this writing. So
of course.
Well, I mean, it's not a simple matter to be able, you know, in the body and the physical to traverse time thousands and thousands of years ago. You know, there's some training that went on. I mean, we talk about musical geniuses. I mean, they're born, they don't come out of nowhere. I mean, there could be nobody in the family remotely musical, but they're born with that seed of genius, which hopefully, you know, can be nourished and cultivated.
Yeah, it comes
and sprout.
From somewhere.
Yeah.
The ability to tap into as I call the universal computer, that mm-hmm. has the knowledge of everything, and we each have a purpose to tap into different parts of it.
Right, right. And our mind is really just an extension of universal mind. Your mind is not existing in its true home. I mean, the mind and soul are entwined together for millennia upon millennia. Your soul is not in its true home. Your mind is not in its true home, which is universal mind. They're stationed in this body for a limited time in the physical.
What you're saying is so special, and probably, I don't know how few percentage of the population can understand that's who we are and that's what we're about. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure our audience is tuned in ways that this is special for them to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, just, I would tell people, just follow your curiosity, your inner promptings. I mean, I think the highest calling is to embrace the fact that you're a seeker after truth.
Right.
And that's a very high calling, because everything you do is building a foundation. to further your spirituality.
There's no end.
Well, there can be an end. And I write about that in Search of Lost Lives. If you're really, really, really tired of the suffering, if you have any sense of what you've suffered in past lives, if you're afraid of suffering, what to come, if you want to exist in a consciousness of absolute bliss and love, there can be an end. An entry into the infinite, into eternity.
Yes, and there are also wonderful planets to live on that are really nurturing.
Yeah, I mean, most people are meant to just keep exploring. And I kind of delineate these, there are kind of four basic choices in the wisdom of grooming and a new now. It's like, how do you want to groom your destiny? This is really a rare opportunity for you to take stock of who you are and where you're going. And if you want to explore different planets, that's part of your plan. You know, I wish you well, all the best. Go ahead and do that. But do it with you know, consciousness and intention.
Well, of course. And I think listening to your stories and understanding actually the scope that you utilize in your books is really helpful to people. So they, I think they need to become familiar. And you also have a website, right?
Oh, yes. The website is goddart.com. That's spelled G-O-D for God and D-A-R-T for Dart. So goddart.com. There you can read excerpts, listen to interviews, my free journal you can download. And if you buy your books on Amazon, you can click over to that book page. So there's actually a lot to explore. I hope you'll visit me there.
I hope so, because it's wonderful what you're doing. It's so great to talk with you. Thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew.
Oh, thank you, Peter. It's really a delight to share this time with you.
And
thank you.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, H-E-A-R-T, river.org. I'd love to hear from you. And thanks so much for listening.